आश्रिता जनक जनकादया लोक संग्रहमेवापि संभस्यन् खरतुमार्हसि. Kings such as Janak attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. Someone is translating? It has already been announced. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to this auspicious occasion where we have all come together at this holy place of Sri Radha Kunja Bihari Mandir to hear and chant the glories of the Lord's teachings, His pastimes, and His holy names. Wherever the topics of Krishna are being discussed, that place becomes the most auspicious place in all of the three worlds. Munaya sadupristoham bhavadya lokamangalam yat kripa krishna samprasno yenatma supraseedati. The sages of Naimasharanya told to Suta Goswami, and Suta Goswami responded that wherever the dialogue, where someone is hearing and someone is speaking, the topics, the truth, the ultimate truth of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, those topics are like the holy river Ganges. Because anyone who comes in contact with that sound vibration becomes purified from within and without. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmaret pundarikak samsabhayadyantara suci. One who remembers that beautiful lotus-eyed personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, even after passing through so many various circumstances in life, becomes purified from within and without. Because Krishna is all pure. One name of Krishna is Pavitra. Arjuna called upon Krishna when he had developed the highest realization of Krishna as the Supreme Godhead. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitra Mitamuttama. That you are the Supreme Brahman, you are the Supreme Abode, and you are the Supreme Purifier. Because the laws of nature are that what you associate with, you take those qualities. Therefore, the great acharyas tell us that the beginning, the middle, and the end of our spiritual lives is utterly dependent on the association that we keep. Sadhu sanga, sadhu sanga, sarva sastra koi, lava matra sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hoy. Even a moment's association with a pure devotee of the Lord can completely transform our entire lives. And throughout history, we have seen that this practically takes place. In Ramayana, we find the story of the great highway robber, murderer, Valmiki. By the association of Sri Narada Rishi, he learned the process of chanting the name of God, and he became the purest of the pure. And this is very significant, because the great devotees, they never come to give us their own association. They give us the association of the Lord. Anyone who thinks that I can purify anyone, is in a great illusion of false pride. Who can we purify? What can we purify? Krishna is the supreme purifier. And the great sadhus, they do not say, worship me. They say, worship Krishna. And the great spiritual masters, sometimes they will accept our worship on behalf of Krishna. But if for even a moment they try to keep that worship for themselves, then no one makes any spiritual progress at all. So what was the greatness of Narada Rishi when he met with this robber and hunter? He taught him the process of remembering Krishna by chanting Krishna's name. And that robber became such a devotee by the association of Krishna's name, which comes through the association of Krishna's devotees, that the entire life and teachings of Lord Sri Ramchandra was revealed to him from within his heart. And the nature of one who is given special mercy is he wants to give that mercy to others. One who receives the causeless mercy of the Lord through the great saints never wants to keep it for themselves because he feels indebted. That due to the causeless mercy of such a great soul, my life has been purified. And my debt is to assist that person in giving this mercy to others.
So Valmiki did not simply
sit alone and meditate on the name and pastimes of Sri Ram, but he wrote Ramayana so that the whole world for all times to come would receive the mercy of his spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni. And to this very day, many millions of years later, we are still weeping tears of gratitude when we read the beautiful pastimes of Lord Sri Ramachandra. Similarly, Shukadev Goswami heard the Bhagavat Purana from his father, Srila Vedavyas. Vedavyas spoke to Shukadev, and in a mood of gratitude. And what did Vedavyas give Shukadev? He gave him Krishna. He didn't give him himself. He gave him Krishna's words. He gave him Krishna's lila. He gave him the lila of Krishna's devotees. And by that connection of Krishna, everyone becomes purified. So Shukadev Goswami spoke the same message to the great King Parikshit Maharaj, and to all the great sages and rishis throughout the universe. They assembled. That place is still there in northern India. It is called Shukada. It is somewhere between New Delhi and Rishikesh. And there is a banyan tree right close to the bank of Ganga, and it is said that in that very holy place that you can visit, that is where Shukadev Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of the persons who was sitting in that satsang was Suta Goswami, and in a great mood of obligation to Shukadev Goswami, knowing his compassion and mercy to all living beings, he repeated that same message to the sages of Naima Sharanya. And from that very time, in disciplic succession, the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam have been preserved enlightening and illuminating the hearts of people throughout the world. In the case of our own beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, when he was a young man, just married, only in his very early 20s, by the arrangement of Lord Sri Krishna, he met his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And upon their first meeting, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati told him that you should take this message of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and you should do the greatest benefit to the whole world by teaching it in the English language, which is the language of the whole world. It is the medium language for the whole planet at this time. Because these teachings are not meant for only a few. They are meant for the liberation of all humanity. So Srila Prabhupada took that instruction as his life and soul. And in the later years of his life, he traveled around the planet 14 times, constantly preaching, writing books, giving personal instructions. He gave every ounce of his energy simply to repeat this sacred message to others. And he said that we are opening these temples all over the world simply to give people the opportunity to associate with devotees. A devotee is one who is simply talking about Krishna, who is simply serving Krishna and chanting Krishna's name. When we associate with devotees, we associate with Krishna because they are giving us Krishna. Srila Prabhupada told us, a real guru will never claim to be God. Because if the guru claims to be God, he's giving you himself. And there's not much that any of us have. But the real guru claims to simply be the messenger of God, the servant of God, and he gives us God. One time someone came to Srila Prabhupada and said that my guru is Krishna. No need to mention any names. And that day Srila Prabhupada was not in such a mood to argue with the person. He said, oh, your guru is Krishna? Are you sure he's Krishna? He said, I am sure. Srila Prabhupada said, but there are so many gurus who say they're Krishna. How do you know everyone is sure that their guru is Krishna? And everyone is saying that their guru is the only Krishna, the Yugavatar and everything else. He said, so understand that here in India, that the standard that a person is God is that he is Krishna. Do you agree? He said, yes, that is the standard. My guru meets that standard. He is Krishna. He said, all right. So everyone accepts that Krishna is God. So rather than take a chance that your guru is Krishna, just accept that Krishna is Krishna. We all accept Krishna is Krishna, but we don't all accept your guru is Krishna. Because factually, Krishna only appears in this age of Kali Yuga according to the Vedas. Nowhere does he say he appears in the form of your guru or any of these other gurus. But we all accept Krishna as Krishna. He's the standard. So just worship Krishna. And the guru is one who simply teaches you how to worship Krishna. How to always remember Krishna. Because Krishna is all pure. And when we associate with the All Pure, we become purified. And this is why the most important part of our life is to associate with devotees. Because in their association, we will always hear about Krishna. We will always be remembering Krishna. We will always be induced to serve Krishna. And we will always be in the midst of the beautiful chanting of Krishna's name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna!
thus we become purified. If you put the iron rod in fire, it takes on the qualities of fire. It becomes red and hot. And if you say, it is not fire, it is iron rod, Guru Maharaj said, then you touch it. And if you touch it, you will get the same exact effect as if you touch fire directly, because of its association with the fire. If you put that same iron rod in ice, it will become cold like ice. And if you touch it, it is like touching ice. So our consciousness is like that. What we associate with, we will become that. So human form of life is meant to always associate with Krishna. Human form of life is meant for purification. Atato brahma jigyasa. It is meant for self-realization. And the fruit of self-realization is purification. It is the means. Srila Prabhupada used to explain that in the real science of Sanatana Dharma, the ends and the means are the same. The means is we become purified through chanting Hare Krishna. And what is the result? That in pure love, we chant Hare Krishna. He was asked, what do you hope to get out of all this chanting of Hare Krishna? Some may be thinking that they are chanting Hare Krishna, the less intelligent, that they will get lots of money, that they will get good grades on their exams, that they will be cured of material, physical diseases, that their marriage problems will not be so bad, that their children will obey them, that their wife will obey them. Some people think that I will get elevation to some heavenly planet, that I will defeat my competitors. Some even feel perhaps I will get mystic powers and be able to do all miracles. Some chant Hare Krishna because they want to become liberated, mukti. When they asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you hope to get by chanting Hare Krishna? He did not want material prosperity. He did not want long life. He did not want liberation. He said, there's only one thing we want to get from chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna. That is the result. We want to glorify God forever. Now we are chanting for the purpose of cleansing our heart and cleansing our mind, because we have so many material attachments. And these material attachments are the cause of all the pains, individually and collectively, within this world. These material attachments are due to wrong designations. We are thinking we are this body. We are thinking that we are belonging to a particular environment. But the truth is that we are the eternal soul. We are the eternal servant of Krishna. And the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, because the name of the Lord is none different than the Lord, by remembering Krishna we become purified. And this is the purpose of human life, purification. And what is it that we want to get purified of? We want to get purified of all misconceptions, of all ignorance. Just like when you take bath in the morning with water, we want to purify ourselves from whatever is not really us. This material body is made out of the flesh and bones and hairs and everything like that. And so many substances inside that we don't have to mention. But when you become dirty, that means foreign particles come over the body that you call you. Dust and dirt and all sorts of other things. And if you stay dirty like that, it causes disease. It causes pain, suffering. Therefore, civilized human beings will take bath every day. And what is the purpose of bath? Water is a cleansing agent which takes away everything that is not you off of you so that you can remain healthy. A clean body is not something different. A clean body is simply you take off everything that's not part of your body. Is this a correct analysis? Anyways, I went to college for some time, so I learned a few practical things in life. But I didn't learn this, that's it. Not even this much. So water simply brings your body back to its natural condition where it's not covered by foreign elements. Krishna's name, the sound vibration of Krishna's pastimes, is like water. It cleanses our soul. The soul is seated within the heart. The soul is pure. The soul has nothing to do with this body, nothing to do with anything of this material world. The soul is spiritual, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Within the soul is pure love of God. And in that love is ecstasy. We're living within the body, and therefore we have to take care of the body. But the soul is something different. And the chanting of God's name purifies us, just like taking a bath, in the sense that it removes all the dirt and the accumulated ignorance of all of our material designations. Where we're thinking that we're man, we're thinking that we're woman, we're thinking that we're Indian or American, we are thinking that we are young or old or rich or poor, we're thinking that we're Gujaratis or Sindhis or Punjabis or Maharashtrians. Like that. These are temporary designations. And when we cleanse ourselves of all these designations and realize that I am part of God, then there can be real joy. Then there can be good health, spiritual health. And then there can be harmony and unity amongst other living beings. Because all the fighting, all the quarrel, all the envy, all the strife in the world is because we are identifying with something that we are not. This is called ignorance, avidya. And this ignorance is due to an accumulation of dirt. If you have a child that doesn't bathe in so many weeks, you just think this child is disgusting, you should take a bath. But we have not bathed our hearts in millions and millions of births. We have just allowed dirt and accumulation of ignorance and attachment and misconception just accumulate on our heart for millions and millions and millions of births. And Krishna descends to this world through so many avatars and so many ages and sends his beloved representatives just to tell us, take a bath. Bathe in my names, bathe in my glories. Chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
And in that clean state, the true immortal blissful qualities of the soul not only make your life wonderful, but they can help make so many people's lives wonderful. It is the nature of a person who is self-realized that the quality of the soul's compassion wants to give that same gift to others. And how to do so? Today's verse that we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita describes that through our exemplary work, we should lead society on the proper path of purification. Even such kings as Janak attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. Maharaj Janak was a great king of the city of Mithila. It's a beautiful place. And he had family. He had so many responsibilities as king. But he was a very highly advanced Vaishnav devotee. Why didn't he go and live in an ashram? Why didn't he leave his responsibilities and take sannyas? Because he understood he had no attachments for this world, but simply for the sake of giving an example to lead others on the right path, he maintained his occupation and he performed his work. And how much work he had to do. It is explained that there was a terrible drought in his kingdom. No rain. When there is no rain, food cannot grow. And man cannot create rain. We are all completely dependent on the mercy of God. Due to the development and urbanization of modern civilizations, people are going farther and farther away from natural living, and in the process they're becoming farther and farther away from the awareness of their complete dependence on the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada wanted to develop so many farm communities to teach people the process of simple living, high thinking. When we're living on a farm, we know that the earth is not something that any man has ever created. The earth is a gift of God. And the rain that falls in the earth is a gift of God. And all the seeds that we plant in the earth are gifts of God. We have not created the seeds. We have not created the earth. We have not created the rain. It is all given to us. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that at the beginning of creation, Krishna arranges this whole wonderful environment for people to develop for a purpose. And when people are living in big, big cities, they forget that God is the source. They forget their dependence. In the Western countries, the farmers live way, way far away, and most of the population is big, big cities, and they go to the grocery market. Big, 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 huge. For any of you who have been to the West, you know. Big, giant buildings. And it is not that you have to, like in India, it's simple and nice here. You go to one neighborhood to buy this, you go to another neighborhood to buy this, you go to one shop and you compete with him and try to get lower price, and then he tries to get higher price, and then somehow or other you come to an agreement and you bring your food home and then you cook it. But there, big, big, giant stores, air-conditioned, so many stories, so many lights. Everything has its price tag on it. And now, it's all electrical. When you bring it to the place, they just touch it to this electrical machine, and the price comes on the cash register. It goes, ch-ch. You see, the whole idea is competition amongst cheaters. That's what all technology is, basically competition amongst cheaters. Because so many people, they change the price tags. They go to something that's very cheap, and they take the price tag off and put it on something that's very costly. And then the person at the register sees, like that. And oftentimes, it's the person at the register as his friends come in. Do like this, and then I'll just go like this. So they spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to make this machine where you just touch the particular product and immediately the prices. So no one can cheat. But still, people have spent, the cheaters have spent millions of dollars to get little machines to put on the articles, and it changes the numbers on the article from an electrical processed way, so when it does it, everything goes and it's endless competition between cheaters and cheating. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is you go into these stores and it's all air-conditioned and it's all stainless steel and it's all beautiful, and you just, there's 100 varieties of bread, there's 100 varieties of everything. People are completely on the mental platform. Someone tells you, go buy me a bar of soap. And you go to this store and there's 300 varieties of soap. And each one is being advertised with all sorts of lights and everything. And it takes 2 hours to decide which soap you should buy. And even then, as you're walking out, you're thinking, maybe I should have bought that one. This way, technology is simply putting people in anxiety. Mental platform. Everything. I used to go with my mother to shop, and she'd just be comparing. Just every article, it would take so long just checking all the differences between them. They're all the same. And then you come out and you think that this bread has come from the supermarket. Where does anyone think that if God does not make it rain, you would not have this bread? In this way, modern science and technology in so many ways is taking people away from the basic principle of truth. That we are completely depending on Krishna. And He is the source of everything. And without Krishna, we cannot breathe, we cannot survive, we cannot eat. If it does not rain, you die. A few years ago, California, the most developed, second wealthiest state in America, there was a massive drought. There was no rain. The whole economy was collapsing because of no rain. And what could they do? None of the movie stars could make it rain. None of the politicians could make it rain. None of the big university professors or scientists could make it rain. None of the multi-millionaire industrialists could make it rain. Only Krishna can make it rain. So King Janak, when in his kingdom there was a great drought, he understood that if we please Krishna, if we please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then by His will He can make it rain, because we are dependent on Him. So in order to teach others the process of worshipping God and depending on God, He personally performed the yajna. He was told that you, the king, have to plow the fields and plow all around the entire kingdom. So he took the plow in his hands. He was willing to take such a menial position of a plowsman, although he was the king of one of the greatest kingdoms on the planet. Yadyaratsarati sreshtasthad dhar evetarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastharanu bharatati. Because what great people do, the common people follow. And every single one of us is a great person in the sense that we have influence over others' lives. So King Janak performed his occupation in such a way that he was exemplary. He did his duties in devotion to God. Whatever our varna or ashram, if we perform it in devotion to God, that is perfection. Atapung sapura, what is that person? Varna shama vibhagasha, shvanustitasya dharmasya, samsadir hari dosha. Whatever our occupation, it is our eternal duty to do it in the service of God. So through the plowing of the field, as he was plowing, the earth was unfolding, and at a certain place, a beautiful little baby came out of the earth. And she was none other than the goddess of fortune, Sita. And after Sita appeared, the rain started to fall. And the whole kingdom was in utter prosperity. So following in the footsteps of such great kings, we should perform our work in the right consciousness as an example to others. There are so many wonderful narrations in the various scriptures on this principle. We should not perform our work with attachment. We should perform our work with devotion. That is the perfection of life. Some people have the misconception that Bhagavad Gita teaches that you should simply be nice and you should not be attached to the fruits of your work, and that is the perfection of life. But Krishna explains that we must work in a spirit of devotion to the Supreme Godhead. That is the perfection of life. When we work in a spirit of devotion, then naturally there will be no material attachments. But to work without material attachments is not, it will do no real benefit to others. Because people are not seeking in this world simply a negation of karmic reaction. People are seeking love. People are searching for ecstasy, for happiness. And that comes through reciprocation with God. And what is the process of reciprocation? It is called bhakti. Bhakti is the eternal function of every soul. It is the reciprocation of the soul's nature with the Supreme Soul. That whatever we do it for the service of the Lord. So we should all perform our occupations in this spirit for our purification. Because the subject matter that we are speaking tonight is Krishna, you are all becoming purified by hearing it. And because the subject matter is Krishna, I am getting purified by speaking it. I cannot do anything to purify you, but Krishna can do everything to purify you. If I simply repeat Krishna's words, you will become completely purified. If you simply hear Krishna's words, you will be purified. If you simply repeat what you have heard, then you will be purified and everyone who listens to you will be purified. This is human existence. So whatever our occupation may be, whether we are mothers or fathers or housewives or teachers or businessmen or lawyers or doctors or politicians, or as Arjuna, he was a warrior. Krishna is inducing Arjuna, perform your work as a warrior in devotion to me. Be an example for people to follow us. first and greatest responsibility that all of you have, that all of us have, is to be an example for others to follow in our life. We have to be responsible. Responsible in our relationship with the rest of society. And that means to act for our own purification and act in such a way that will purify others. Yat karoshi rasnasi, yat juhoshi dipasya, yat tapasya sukonti, yat tat karushama parava. And Krishna has made it very simple, that whatever we do should be done as an offering in devotion to Krishna. If people see that we're performing our duty with the highest sense of morality, if people see we are performing our duties and at the same time coming to wonderful satsangs and hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, making our temples, our homes, temples of the Lord, chanting the names of the Lord every day, reading the Lord's words in the scriptures every day, when people see that we are performing our work in this mood, they will become purified by our example. And we will become purified by giving such an example. And this is the great need of the day. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his descendants in disciplic succession have not told people that they have to give up their occupations. But perform your work. Perform it in a spirit of devotion. Perform it in such a way that you can always remember Krishna. Because in that remembrance, we bathe our consciousness. We purify our hearts. And Krishna says in Gita, Yam yam bhapi smaram bhavam tijatyante kalevam. If you remember Krishna throughout your life, your heart will be so pure that naturally you will remember Krishna at the time of death. And at that final moment, which is inevitable, and it may come at any time, if we are conscious of Krishna, that final purification of taking Krishna's name at the time of death will cleanse you forever of all material entanglement. And we return to the Lord's eternal abode in our original spiritual body to engage us in His eternal loving service. So whatever we do in life, at every moment, we should be striving to remember Krishna and striving to help others remember Krishna. And this is all possible only in this age of Kali Yuga through the cleansing process of Harinam Sankirtan. Harinama 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 Eva Kevalam Kolo Nasteva 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 Gatirangita. Just like this nice building during the monsoons, winds and rains beat upon it, but it remains as it is, a beautiful holy place where the Lord is being worshipped. Because it has a strong foundation. The foundation of our life comes through associating with devotees and chanting the holy names of the Lord regularly and sincerely. If we maintain very strongly that principle every day of chanting God's names, it gives us a strong spiritual foundation. And on that foundation, we can build our life. Many of you are students of the IYF, ISKCON Youth Forum. Many of you are teachers of colleges. Some of you are brahmacharis. Sannyasi. Some are businessmen. Some are doctors, farmers, If you build your occupation upon the foundation of hearing and chanting the Lord's names and glories, then your whole life will be spiritually strong. And through all of your efforts, you will not become entangled, but you will become purified. And then with that purified, compassionate heart, you can really extend your consciousness to show mercy to others, to give God's mercy to others. And there is nothing more satisfying to the soul than when it extends itself to give God's mercy to others. And there is no greater mercy that we can give to others than to induce people and convince people of the necessity of purifying their own lives through the chanting of the holy names.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
Thank you very much. I'm very much grateful to be with all of you this evening. This is really a wonderful atmosphere that has been created by the devotees of Pune. It's charming. To sit under this holy neem tree. Huh? Tamarind tree? You told me it was a neem tree. I didn't look at it. I just... when I look at it, I see it's a tamarind tree. But I just accepted Krishnananda's word as truth. Anyways, tamarind trees. Lord Chaitanya would sit under a tamarind tree every day when he was in Vrindavan and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Sacred because Lord Chaitanya was born under a neem tree in Navadvip Dham. And because he was born under a neem tree, he was known as Nimai. But when he went to Vrindavan, he would sit every day on the bank of the river Ganga, or Jamuna, the river Jamuna, under a tamarind tree. The name of that tamarind tree is Imlita. That makes sense, Imlita. And he would sit under that tree, and with his japa mala, he would very devotionally chant Krishna's holy names all morning, every day. That same tree, the same tree, Radha and Krishna would have wonderful pastimes on the bank of Jamuna. It is said that Krishna, when he would feel intensive separation from Sri Radharani, he would go to that tree and he would sit under it and he would simply meditate so deeply on his heart, in the mood of separation, on the beautiful form of Sri Radharani. And because he would become so absorbed in the thought of Sri Radharani, his beautiful blackish complexion, Ghanashyam, would turn golden. And Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation of Radha and Krishna in one form, Krishna in the sentiment of Sri Radharani. So 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya sat under that same tree, tamarind tree, and he was so much immersed in thinking of Krishna that his beautiful golden form would turn, his Gauranga form
will turn into Shamsundar. Good luck.
So, in our sampradaya, tamarind trees are places to sit under, to completely absorb yourself in chanting the holy names and remembering Krishna and becoming purified. So I'm very happy to be under this tamarind tree with all of you tonight. Lord Chaitanya taught us by example that we should sit under a tamarind tree and chant Hare Krishna mantra. So at this time, under this auspicious tamarind tree, under the beautiful sky, in this most beautiful, wonderful environment of so many devotees, let us perform Sankirtan. Hare Krishna. You can teach everyone how to do it.